Sermon, Becoming Like Little Children. Los Angeles, California, September 14, 1902. Sermon by Mrs. E. G. White, East Los Angeles Campground, 2:30 p.m., Sabbath, September 14, 1902. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We have plenty of stealing going on in our world today, and there are a great many that have their treasures disturbed, but here is a place of safety. We can lay up our treasures beside the throne of God. Well, you say, how can we do that? Well, it is to use the Lord's money that He has lent us and made us stewards over, that we may devote a portion of our treasure to help the very ones that need help. How, I ask you, is the Lord God of heaven to carry on the work through believing people? How is He to do this, unless everyone to whom God has committed His treasures shall act as if it was God's and not theirs? He has made us His missionaries in the world. There are Christians here, and these should, every one of them, understand that upon them rests a sacred responsibility. Now, the advice is given by Christ Himself. It does not come even through the disciples. It comes by Him. Well, here it comes to us, to act our part. He does not come down and lay the treasures, a pile, right before us, and say, "You go to Australia, or India, or other parts of the world." And He does not say to you, "Here's the money," but He has put it in the hands of trustees, and He expects these trustees will act in their place and do their duty. And as this has been represented to me, I have felt a solemn responsibility on me to work for the Master, that I may add territory to territory, annex new territories, that field after field shall have the gospel standard erected as memorials to God in these fields. Well, one heard that we were breaking through in Australia, and building meeting house after meeting house, and adding church to church, and he says, "Is Mrs. White a millionaire, that she is working in this way?" It is not only Mrs. White, but it is those missionaries that accompanied us in the field. We laid hold together. We worked as if we meant it. "A millionaire," I said. "A millionaire, my friends? Why, it does not begin to express it. God is going to make me more than a millionaire. If I can enter the city of our God and have the immortal inheritance, what is a millionaire compared with that? But if anyone wants to be a millionaire, I invite you to come right by my side and help me, and you can be more than a millionaire." "But how do you get the money?" they would say. "I go just as far as my royalty on my books, for I am publishing books all the time, will let me go." "Then do I stop?" "No, indeed. I say, if any of you have money that you want to loan to me, on interest or without interest, bring it to me, and whenever you call for it, you shall have it. Now the millionaire business is, I am more than $10,000 in debt today." "Well, does that trouble me?" "No. Because those who loan the money say, 'I would rather you would have it than the bank.' I know that it is perfectly safe, that whenever we call, we shall have our money. But if they are willing to allow me to handle their money, I will do it, and pay them interest on that money, a low interest. And what will I do with it?" "Well, when they say, 'Here is a field to be opened, in this place or that place, cannot you help us?' Why, yes, I can take some of this money and invest it there. Thus we have done in the southern states, thus we have done in nearly every state where we have been, to advance the interests of the work of God. That is how I am becoming a millionaire, a trustee for God. I invite the rest of you to be just as rich as I am. You can have your choice. You can decide to have eternal riches by laying them up in heaven. I remember we came to a spot in Australia, and there was nothing to do with. We wanted a tent. It was leaking. The rain was running down upon the tent and upon the worshippers. 'We must have a tent,' they said, 'but we don't know where to get the money.' Said I, 'I have sent. I have some money that is coming, of my own, that is coming from California. Now, it will be here soon. Let us pray over the matter.' Well, we got down and prayed over the matter. I think it was the next day that the money came, $1,400. 'Here,' said I, 'take it to our leading businessmen, and put so much in Queensland, to build a meeting house, and so much in Stanmore to help in their meeting house, and place it here and there. And not one penny of that did I use for myself. Well, now what? Why, I laid it up above. I have laid it up in heaven, by the side of the throne of God. Well now, another says, what are you saying to us about not laying up treasure here? And here we see that you are out looking for property, and you are selecting property in this place, and in that place, and the other. What is it for? What are we selecting this property for? It is that we may call our children away from the public schools in our cities. It is that we may build our sanitariums, where we can take the sick and the suffering ones and treat them. The sanitariums are to be carried on as a work done for God. That is to be an education and a training in every one of these institutions. Now we see that meeting houses must be built, and we want to get out of the cities with our sanitariums and with our schools. Why? We want our sanitariums where there is an open country. We want them where patients shall not be enclosed in four walls, and they shall have the privilege of being rolled out in the open air. There shall be flowers, and there shall be fruit trees, and there shall be everything that will attract their attention to take their minds away from themselves. You let them be within four walls, and they hear the cars rattling by, and they hear the noises, and they have the benefit of the smoke from the chimneys. We want to get them where they will have every advantage to gain health. My husband used to take me when my lungs were very weak, and I was coughing incessantly. Well, wife, he would say, we must go out in the country to our farm there. And then he would set a chair down where they were setting out strawberries. Now work, he would say, right over this ground. The poison will be taken from your lungs. You will not have to breathe it over and over and over again. Here you work in the open air, and you will recover health. And we used to do it. Now we want every one of you to understand that we want all our institutions for health, that we can possibly find a place and a location for, away from the cities, from the noise and turmoil of cars, and from all that will offend the senses. We want them to be educated to think of these things, pointing to flowering plants on pulpit. You have put them here because you think they are pleasant. They are pleasant. They are nature's production. They will see flowers, and they will see fruit, and they will see that which is beautiful in nature. Why, if they were within these four walls, they would poison themselves to death with their own breaths. Especially many that are afflicted with tuberculosis can take a building that is out in the open air, and dwell there, and go out from their houses. Many that you think are hopeless would recover entirely. Now we want to act sensibly, and I say, in the name of the Lord, do not encourage a sanitarium to be built in a congested city. Get it out, miles away, where they can see the beauties that God has given us in nature, where they can hear the merry songsters in the morning, where they can hear them singing. Now this is what we are trying to do with our means. Why should we not build up these advantages, if we can lay hold of the money to help suffering humanity? For yourselves, you are not to lay up your treasures just for your pleasure, just for the enriching of yourselves. You are not to do this. Just before my husband died, I put my hand in his. Said I will carry on the work that you leave. Why, I never thought of doing business. His steamboat head would plan for everything, but then I have taken the work as a pioneer, and my children are helping me in the work. One here, and one in the southern states is at work there, and we are doing what we can for the master. When you want to find our treasure, you won't find much of it that is here. We want to keep the hired means, if they want us to, till the Lord comes. And then what? Why, then, we will change. We will go up into the upper court. We will enter the pearly gates of the city of God, and hear the well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 23. Now that is what we want. And we want to say to everyone who is seeking to serve and to glorify God, lay your treasures above, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Certainly, we have got a heart that is connected with God, so that we want to do His work. We want to advance His cause in the world. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, that is, anxious care, for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Matthew 6, verse 22-25. Do you notice in the papers that a large number of men, whose deaths are reported at 75 or 70 and onward, are reported to have died after what? Why, they had been to some entertainment, great entertainment, and they had been to some kind of a place where probably they had eaten intemperately, and they died suddenly of heart disease. I think it must have been of overeating. That is what I think. Now, if we live on simple food, if we eat merely to satisfy our hunger and not to gratify our taste, then we shall not get such a burden on our stomach that we cannot take care of it. Our digestive organs were created to digest food, not for loading it down, and crowding it down, and keeping it at work. I have been on the steamers, where they have their luncheon and meals how many times? 6 times. I have eaten 2 meals a day for 35 years, and I have eaten no meat for many years, drank no coffee, no tea, and will not eat the pastries that are brought in little dishes upon the table. I eat the simple foods that can be created simply, that do not make slaves in our homes. Many a mother is dying by the slavery of cooking. Now, we want to understand that there is something else to think of. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought, anxious thought, it is, for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 25. Why, we want that Jesus Christ should be in our home, and when we sit at the table, we shall have a very pleasant season of conversation in regard to religious things. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? Verses 26-27. That is a wonderful question brought in there. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Here are some flowers. They are not lilies. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verses 28-29. Just consider that. I have taken the common flower, when I was in Australia, that we would see growing wild there, and put it under the microscope, a magnifying glass. Oh, how beautiful, how beautiful! We do not begin to know the beauties that are in the flowers that are right around us. We want to introduce this congregation to nature, and we want to introduce you to the wonderful works of God in nature. And we want to tell you that God wants every one of you to be in health. We know that David said, "We are fearfully and wonderfully made." Psalm 139, verse 14. So we are. Well now, God wants your brain power. The Lord wants all the strength of your capability of brain. There is little enough of us, at the best. We are all nothing but children, little children, as John calls it, and Christ talks of little children. In God's sight, we are His family of little children. We are to learn, and if we will only learn of the Master the very lessons He wants us to learn, we shall be nearer, perhaps, like Daniel, than we are today. We shall have understanding, because God cooperates with every soul who will do his best for himself, that he may expend that strength and capability for God. We have a world lying in wickedness. We have a world to save, and we ask you, how are you working? Are you cooperating with God? Ye are laborers, saith the Word, together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Have you linked right up with the Master? Has appetite and passion and all the enchantments of dress, the taste for dress, come in and cut off your connection with your Heavenly Father? We do not ask you to be careless in dress. We ask you to dress simply, to dress your children simply, and to teach them how they can obtain the robe of Christ's righteousness that is without a spot or without a stain upon it. We teach you, fathers, that are farmers, no matter what you are, no matter what work you have, if you have children in your house, you must give some attention to these children, and it will save you, oh, so much sorrow and anxiety and suffering. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 10. Now you want to make your home pleasant, just as pleasant as you can. You need sunshine in the home. Not to let the sunshine in your homes is a mistake. It is God's doctor. The sunshine is God's doctor. It will do more for you than all the drugs of all the physicians that there are in the world. And He wants men and women to come to their senses. The reason that we are establishing sanitariums is so that we can use the very remedies that God has given us to use, that we shall have the sunshine, and that we shall have the pleasant things in nature, that we shall have the proper food. We have no need to eat the flesh of dead animals at all. No, we will take the food at first. We will not wait to have it go through the animal, and then eat the dead flesh of the animal in order to get the food. We will take the food the first cooking. We will take the very best that we can get, and we will prepare it in the very best manner to give us strength. And then what? We will have no wine nor liquor in our house, only that wine which comes from the fresh grape. Christ wrought a miracle to bring just such wine before a part at a marriage feast. There was not one particle of fermentation in the wine that He created out of water. No, think of the wine and the liquor and the tobacco that is used by the people. You read about the accidents that happen upon the railroad. If you could come to the very reason of these accidents, as it has been presented to me, and why they were, it is because of intoxication, inebriates that are running the cars. And in business transactions, men falling off of their loads as they are going to market. What made them fall off? Why, they have been drinking at some of these open saloons. That is what is the matter with them. We do not have brains to be confused in this way. We want to give to God the strength of our capabilities. He has created us, and He demands of us that we shall honor and glorify Him. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Matthew 6, verse 28. That is what we want to do. Educate your children. Take them out to look at the flowers. What does it mean? Every bud and every opening flower is an expression of the love of God to human beings if they will notice it. And God wants us to appreciate His artistic skill. He is the great master artist that has put the coloring on the flowers. He has made them very beautiful, and if you could see them under a glass, you would see the most beautiful things. Now we want to know about this. We want to tell our children about it. We want to educate and train them to simplicity of habits. Why, said one, Mrs. White, your children will not know anything unless you let them go into parties and let them go to theaters and these places. Very well, said I. They won't know anything that comes in that line as long as they are under my charge. You may depend on that. They will not have any such society. I keep my children and am educating them in the fear of God to love God and to keep His commandments. And then what? They will be my helpers, just as they now are. Two of them, the eldest branch and the youngest branch of the family tree, we have laid in Oak Hill Cemetery, in Battle Creek, and the old warrior that stood by my side for 36 years, we closed his eyes in death and laid him by the side of the children. Some come to me saying, Mrs. White, don't you want to call for a season of prayer, that the Lord would raise your husband from the dead? No, indeed. The old warrior has fought his battles. One came to me and said, we have selected a monument for your husband, with a broken shaft. You may take that monument down, and you may put up a full, perfect monument. For, said I, he completed his work. Yes, we worked together as long as God spared him, and he has been dead now 20 years. Said I, we laid him in the grave to rest until the morning of the resurrection. Then he will come forth at the call of the trump of God, and we shall be reunited. Then we shall be a family reunited. There are the children. The eldest boy, 16 years old, died in the triumph of the faith. Mother, said he, I will meet you in the morning of the resurrection. And then I fainted. They took me from the room, and after a little they brought me back. I thought that he was gone. There he lay like one in death, but all at once his eyes flew open. He looked at his mother. He waved his hands upward, upward, the last movement they made, and then that was the last. He breathed his last, but he gave his mother that one sign. Oh, I have not wished him back. No, no. They are sleeping in Jesus, and in the morning of the resurrection they will come forth, and we shall meet again, where? In the royal family. Christ says, "Come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing." The inspiration of God gives this, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 18. Well, then what? Why, we are children of the heavenly King. We are members of the royal family. We are to sing the heavenly songs in the kingdom of glory. Now, this is how we are looking at those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. Now, I thank God that it is our privilege to bring happiness right into our homes here in this life. We want to walk and act in reference to our future life. What if we spend our whole days in educating ourselves to dress, to eat, and to drink? That is what Christ was speaking of, giving your whole attention, your anxious thought, so that you have let eternity drop out of your reckoning. He has come that he may stand in the marts of travel, in the congregated multitudes, and speak. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. He brings eternity in view. Everybody is busy, everybody anxious, everybody stirring around full of anxiety. But what about the soul's interest and the health? We want medical missionaries. We want them to be looking and watching for the sick, tending and caring for the sick, to feel the worth of their souls, that they may reach forward to the hope that is set before them in the gospel. Christ was a medical missionary, the greatest missionary that the world ever knew. He healed the sick, and he would say to one, "Be whole," and he would say to another, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That was just the trouble that was on these persons' minds, and he took them right where they were and pointed them to the home that is above. You need to educate your children in the simplicity of godliness. Not that they shall appear to be very polite to people around them, and thus it be all affectation, but teach them politeness in the home, right in the home. The mother that gave birth to the children is the one who should have the most polite attention that a child can possibly give to a parent. A mother is not to be left to toil over the cookstove while the children are being ladies, learning to play on the piano or an instrument of music. God wants us to teach our children that they shall use every muscle and every nerve. What is the matter with us? Why, this machinery is all rusting out with inaction. We want useful labor, and we are placing our schools where manual labor, industry, shall be connected with every one of them. The advice that I give is to purchase land, plenty of it, that they can work, and then if you have to cramp anywhere, let it be in the buildings. You can add to the buildings, but don't crowd up your buildings where there shall not be room to breathe. Give the free air of heaven all around your school home, and make it just as pleasant as possible. Take away your drapery from your windows. Take it away. Open the doors and let the air of heaven in. I have been in a house where the little children could not have the privilege of even playing with little toys in the room. Why, what was the matter? Why, they would disturb something that is in the room. Well, now, those children grew up unconverted, hard as flint. I taught my children to play, and went out with them in the fields, and we would pluck the flowers. And the fathers should be companions for the boys, and the mothers with the girls, and the boys too. Fathers are to be the house band in the home, and there study the Bible in the evenings. We studied it upon the Sabbath, and talked with the children, and let all the sunshine come that was possible. The devil will let clouds enough come, but there should be no cross words in the ministry. Every soul that stands in the desk, I ask you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to bring all the melody and softness in the voice possible into the words, especially the words. Let the words be clothed with what? Just as though the angels were right by your side, and the two olive branches were letting drop the holy oil right into your vessel. Then your words will be just as smooth as that oil. there won't be anything like hardness or sharpness. What we want is more of Christ and much less of self. Now, this is what fathers and mothers need in their homes. They need the softness of the Spirit of God to come right into their hearts. They need these two olive branches, these two olive trees, and their inquiry is, what are these? The prophet says, these are the two olive branches that stand before the Lord of hosts. See Zechariah 4, verse 11 to 14. Now they send the precious oil to be brought into every home. Let the drops of this oil in right into your business, and when you speak to your children, don't ever get up a loud key. We have to speak loud today to make you hear, but we would say, let the voice be all clothed with a softness wherever you can. God will give it to you in your home. What is the use to leave your heart all bound up and cross and peevish, and yet you profess to be Christians? You are just what your words express. If your words express harshness, and if you have a sour disposition, be converted. We are going through this world but once, and so let us make everybody with whom we come in touch just as happy as we can. Let us bring all the sunshine, all the happiness, all the joy possible into the family. This is what we want, and God will help us. Christ says in the 18th chapter of Matthew that the little ones, he calls them, well, they are little ones in the faith as well as little children. He takes a child and sets it in the midst. They were contending as to who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that is the matter with the world now. Everybody wants to be the greatest. They want to pile up the money, and in doing this, why, it is murder. They are murdering one another. They are robbing one another. We want to be in a position to teach simplicity, lowliness of heart, and then God can handle that brain. God can take care of that frame. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the Lord will give health to all who keep His commandments and who love Him. What we want is a living faith in the home. What we want is a living faith in our souls. What we want is an individuality that cannot be submerged in any living being. We have an identity before God, and He wants us to recognize this identity. He wants to pour into your hearts the living waters of life. He wants that we should be refreshed. He wants to give life and strength and grace and peace that we may impart it to those who are around us. That is good religion. And we would give more to come into that family and see the sweetness of the presence of Christ with the little ones. Christ said, "Unless ye become as this little child, you can never see the kingdom of heaven." Now we want to be just as little children, to help one another, to help all who are around us. There is sick and suffering everywhere, and we want to help suffering humanity. We need to restore, if possible, the moral image of God in man. Ye are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Well now, I have much more to say on this point at some other time, but I have thrown out a few ideas for you, and I will read a verse here in this same chapter, and then I will not hold you longer. Matthew 6, verse 28. Christ would gather the lilies of the field and put them in the hands of the little children. Some have said, no one ever saw Christ smile. It is not true. It is not true. Christ would gather little children in His arms, and they would fall asleep against His great heart of love. He would look upon them, and His countenance smiled. He would smile at the children, and they would catch the smile, and they would run after Him. They would pick the little flowers and carry them to Christ and make their little offering to Him. Oh, why destroy the simplicity of the child? Now, said Christ, their angels do always behold the face of your Father which is in heaven. He says, don't you offend them. It were better for you that a millstone was hanged about your neck and you cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Matthew 18, verse 10, 6. I have thought, how many of us who are older forget that we are only grown-up children, and we have never left our childhood behind. We have kept all our temptations and fretfulness, and we have brought it into our homes. But you cannot carry it into heaven. God wants you to come to Him and receive strength, that His blessing shall come into your family, that the light of heaven with its bright beams shall shine into your hearts and into the hearts of your children. Now, fathers, now, mothers, the very first thing in the morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Offer your prayers to the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek His blessing when you go out and when you come in, and let the Spirit of heaven come into your household, and love God and fear Him, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verses 33-34. Now let us, every one, seek for perfection of human character. Let everyone aim for perfection in words, in deeds, in spirit, and you will have the love of God in your hearts. Be ye therefore perfect, said Christ, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. Does he not know what he is talking about? Has he not given himself in prospect? Did he not wait just until his ministry closed, and then he gave his life on Calvary's cross? He gave his life on Calvary's cross for us, and now he wants us to let his love right into our hearts, and he wants us to diffuse it to everyone in our family and to everyone we meet outside of our family. You had just as well speak pleasant words as cross words, and then the peace of God shall abide in your hearts, and at last we shall see the King in his beauty, and shall say, Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the light that I bring to you, and it is just a few words, but we will have a chance to say some more at another time.